You're tuned into Attic Jams with Sarah Rodriguez. No matter what your jam is, you can find it here.
Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siyam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Anthasyakhliya, Talitin, Homasque Mustail.
Thank you.
Jams. I'm Sarah Rodriguez, your host, and you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR, UBC's community radio station. Joining me in the booth tonight is Lucy Lambert, a local painter, musician, and writer, and she's been performing and spreading her musical witchy love from coast to coast. Thanks, Lucy, for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah. I'm really excited to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you. So me and Lucy, we ran into each other about like a month ago. And yeah, I was really excited to hear that she was back in Vancouver, also working on a new album like for pretty much the whole summer, you said, right?
Yeah, we've just finished it this summer.
Oh, okay, that's really exciting. So what we were listening to was Violet Drift, which is your latest album, correct?
Yeah, we released this album that we just heard in Montreal about a year ago. So this has been my first year kind of promoting my first jazz album that I released with my band. And then I just spent the summer recording a new album with another group in Vancouver. So I'm really excited to also release some more music in the coming year.
Yeah, that is really exciting. So the last two songs that we listened to by Lucy Lambert were A Lazy River and Black Beauty. And do you want to tell us a little bit about those songs?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been really influenced by the music that comes out of New Orleans and early America, especially because as an accordionist, a lot of the early jazz repertoire was really influenced by accordion music in Europe, like Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli. So they were really influenced by the accordionists that they would play with in France, kind of in like 1910, 1920. There was tons and tons of French accordion music. So when I picked up accordion, I was kind of focusing on that repertoire, and then it kind of just leads to jazz the more you get into it, just because of how Django and Stefan Grappelli were really just influenced by these different accordionists they would play mm-hmm. with. Then I started traveling around down in New Orleans, and, you know, when I started playing music, I was basically just a self-taught street musician, and I would go out and busk with my guitar and I would be playing and singing. Then I kind of wanted another instrument that I could pick up and just kind of have an easier time of singing and playing at the same time, that was a little bit more versatile than guitar and kind of had more different kinds of music that I could be learning. So then I picked up the accordion, and then when I was down in the States, there was just like so many incredible brass bands playing this kind of music, like Lazy River. There's some really incredible covers by Louis Armstrong doing that, and Black Beauty, that's like a classic jazz standard by Duke Ellington. So on this album, we kind of focused on a lot of the American jazz repertoire and a lot of mm-hmm. standards that you usually hear by some really incredible jazz composers in American jazz music, like Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington and some others. And you don't usually hear them played on the accordion, so I think I took a pretty unique path as becoming a jazz musician, yeah, to play jazz accordion. But I think that the accordion kind of lends a really kind of more unique or different kind of approach to some of those jazz standards that are a little bit less well-known to begin with anyway, so it kind of becomes its own sound. And then we had a really amazing cellist playing on this album also, Juliette Malgrange. So you don't hear a lot of jazz cello either. So it kind of became a little bit of a unique interpretations of jazz standards was kind of our idea for that album.
Yeah, well, they're really beautiful renditions. And we're going to be listening to basically the whole album for the next hour. So I hope that all of you listening will enjoy. And we're going to get to know Lucy a little bit more as well. Next song that's going to come up is called Smoke Rings, and it's a beautiful rendition. I love it. But yeah, we'll catch you in a little bit. And yeah, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR.
The smoke rings I blow each night. And what do? The circles of blue and white. And what do they tell? And what is the spell they cast? Though some of them fall, some seem to recall the past. most of them rise away to the skies above. Oh, those smoke rings bring me back my love. Thank you.
off of Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift, and you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR, UBC's community radio station. And joining me tonight is Lucy Lambert herself. We're just getting to know her. We're hearing about what she's doing, what she's done, and what she aspires to do. But hi, Lucy. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. We were just talking outside, we're having a glass of wine, and I was like, you know what? When I listened to this song, I was like doing the laundry, and I like had to change my clothes and put on a skirt because I was like, you know, it's just like, it is that vibe, and you seem to be in agreement to that, right?
Yeah, I love that. I love that description for the music. Like, I think I definitely spent a lot of time producing the album and, you know, definitely, yeah, around the house, kind of a Sunday afternoon kind of vibe, like hanging around your house, doing laundry, making food. I've had a lot of people say that they, you know, they were cooking and listened to it, or this kind of energy of, you know, I think like I spend a lot of time, I think domestic spaces are a nice space to be in for me personally. So yeah, I like that description of the album. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. And for the name it's really beautiful and it's got a really nice ring to it. I was just wondering what like inspired the name for the album.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a kind of funny story. Like, I got back to Montreal after the pandemic, and I really had this dream to do a jazz album, basically. And I knew I was collaborating with Joe, who's the clarinetist on the album, because we had done a folk album the summer before called the Camperdown Family Band. And my friend just kind of called him on stage at this festival to play clarinet with us. And we immediately just vibed, like, our first performance together. The first time playing together was literally on stage, so we just started really connecting. Then he was in Montreal, so we started playing together, but the project was actually really vague at first. And then I was at this party in Montreal during this snowstorm, and it was during the Omicron virus, where it was like everything was shut down in the whole city. And I had just gotten back, left for 2 years during the pandemic, and then I just got back, and it was like everything shut down again. We're like, what are we gonna do? But we had this one show booked, like my first show back in the city after a few years, was at Katie Brooms, which is like this big club in Montreal. It's like a pretty prestigious and notorious place to play. And we actually wound up having this gig booked for like the first day that all the clubs were reopening in the city, which was really exciting because everything was shut down. So then I was like, oh, what are we going to call my band? You know, like this, like very kind of at that point, a really vague and amorphous project that we weren't really sure like what it was going to exactly look like. And then I actually met a woman who was worked as a copywriter. Like, okay. And then she was like, I was like describing the project, you know, it's like, it's like jazz tunes, but it's kind of dreamy. And there's like accordion and cello, and it's like a very kind of like more dreamy interpretations of the music. And I told her my name, and she just said it to me, Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. I was like, that's a great name. Like, I love that, you know? And at that point, I really wasn't sure about what the project was going to be, other than that I had the cellist and the clarinetist, who are both like super incredible jazz players. So I was really excited about the band, but it was like just this total gray area of what was going to happen. And then actually it wound up being a totally sold out show at Cade Broom because everybody was so excited that all the clubs had reopened.
Yeah.
So it was this really inspiring time because it was like basically my first time playing in front of like a huge audience just because of the pandemic in a few years. And then everyone in my band was really excited about doing the album and recording and everything just because we had gotten so much great feedback about our first show. And then it just kind of solidified us as a band after that.
Oh, that's sweet. And that is such like being a performer, like you are, and just having like that recognition and getting that energy like from the crowd, you know. And it really like I guess it would really make you like realize like why you're doing what you do and why you love doing it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's so hard to do that when you're not getting that kind of feedback. You never really know exactly how things are going, but definitely performing live the music the first time and just having like, yeah, there was definitely at least like 200, 300 people there, like just our very first show. And we'd barely even rehearsed, but we just kind of went on stage and just did it. And yeah, it was really exciting to have that kind of sense of like hype around a project. I feel like for me, like leading a band for the first time, that was definitely like a big high moment. And we have some of those videos on YouTube now from that performance, which people can check out if they're interested. Yeah, and then after that, we just played all winter together and did a bunch more shows and then just started rehearsing a bunch to make the album. And so the whole project really happened within a stage of just 3 or 4 months before people kind of took off in different directions. But we got a lot done during that time.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I was also going to ask you, so I know you spent a lot of time down in New Orleans, and that's kind of like this album has a very kind of like New Orleans vibe to it. And I just wanted to ask you a little bit about like what your experience was like down there and if you have any funny stories that you want to share.
Yeah, I definitely do. I spent quite a few weeks in New Orleans. I mean, I spent a lot of time traveling when I was younger, I would say. And the funny thing was I was always meeting people in different parts of the world who lived in New Orleans. So then when I would go to New Orleans, I kind of had this kind of a family of travelers from all different corners of the world that I had met, which was a really special thing that I kind of acquired just from putting myself out there as like a young person between the age of like 16 to 24. I hitchhiked around and I went to Europe and busked and played accordion in the street and just busked my way through all of like Europe and America. So then I met a lot of really cool American people, as well as a lot of cool European people who lived in New Orleans. And so many incredible artists. You know, New Orleans is a mecca. It's really an artistic capital of the world. And there were so many people just playing so many different genres of music and being so genuinely interested in music that is outside of like the mainstream pop music culture. You know, there's this huge emphasis on acoustic jazz music, which is what this album is, this huge emphasis on playing live, performing with musical instruments like in a live setting, which is kind of the essence of jazz in a way, is to be able to play live and to perform without that much of like any kind of studio kind of magic going into it to change kind of how it came out raw. So I tried to stay as close to that on the album as possible. You know, we didn't really do a lot of post-production or a lot of editing outside of the studio. We recorded the whole thing in 2 days, and my next album, it's the same. Just we went into the studio and just kind of play as if we're just doing a show, and then we just release those recordings. So I think that kind of keeps the energy of jazz kind of alive in the recordings, because you don't want it to sound like it's been really overly produced. And I think that's kind of what sets jazz apart from pop or rock recordings as they're being done today.
Yeah. Well, I'm really happy that you're here to share your music with us. And I think after the next couple songs, we're going to also hear about the new things that you're working on as well, because that's super exciting. And I can't wait to hear the new music that comes out of it.
Great.
So here we go. This is, again, Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift, and you're listening to CITR.
Thank you.
lights are low. I'm so lonesome, I could cry. When the feeling goes creeping down to my shoes, and you know I got them no good, no good blues, till I get that mood indigo, I could lay me down and
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Attic Jams. That's Moon Glow off of Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift. And she's also joining me here on CITR. So hello again, Lucy.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm really excited that you decided to come on and share your music with us. She's an accordionist and a painter, writer, and she's been living between Vancouver and Montreal and just kind of like all over North America, right? So she's also working on some new projects that are coming out, that were coming out of like happening this summer, basically. You have some new singles coming out too that you want to talk about?
Yeah, definitely. So we released this album last year and then we were doing a lot of performances over the winter and performing it in Montreal in last fall. And then I moved back to Vancouver basically in the springtime. And then I found another really incredible group of jazz musicians to do another album with who are pretty excited about what we had already released. So My next band, it has the same name. It's still called Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift. So I kind of consider Violet Drift, it's like a rotating cast of musicians that are kind of backing me up that I'm collaborating with at different times. So our first album had the same name as the band, which is Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift. And then, but Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift is the name of my jazz project basically in its entirety for now. So our next project, yeah. So our next project will be released under the same name, which is Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift, but we'll have a different album title, which is yet to be disclosed. And yeah, so I recorded a new album with some of Vancouver's really incredible jazz players, like John Nicholson is playing soprano saxophone. We have Kevin Romain on the drums, Seb Chamney on the guitar, and Noah Gottfried on the bass. So that's going to be also a super stellar group of musicians in Vancouver that we just recorded with, and none of that's been released yet, but keep an eye out for it coming up. If you follow any of my social media pages, it'll be put up on there as soon as we start releasing the singles.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear the music that's going to come out of it. And also I wanted to just like let our listeners know where we can also like hear your music if they're wanting to like buy an album or download it off the internet. Is there anywhere that they should go?
Yeah, for sure. We have physical copies. You can buy them on my website, which is lucylambert.com, and also on the Bandcamp page, which is lucylambertsvioletdrift.bandcamp.com. And it's the same name up on Spotify, which is Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift. And on Instagram, it's Lucy Lambert Music. So you can find through all those links, basically. And you could order a CD or buy a physical copy or a digital copy through any of those links.
Yeah, thank you so much. And also just like if you dig a New Orleans vibe, definitely listen to her music, download it, appreciate it, because it's definitely a vibe and a half. And I know that you've traveled in New Orleans and we talked about it a little bit earlier and you were going to tell us some crazy stories.
Yeah, so definitely this album was specifically influenced by New Orleans jazz music. Like I really spent tons of time listening to early jazz singers and early jazz composers like Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, and also early ragtime music, because obviously with the accordion you have this piano keyboard. So I'm also a piano player, though I kind of specialize more in accordion and violin. And so then I was really amazed by the ragtime music that came out of New Orleans that was kind of like pre-jazz, early jazz, like Scott Joplin and Jelly Roll Morton. So some of the songs on the album are Jelly Roll Morton compositions, like Dead Man Blues is on there, and that's one you usually hear with a big brass band played out in New Orleans. And yeah, I saw so many amazing things when I was in New Orleans. One really incredible thing that happens in New Orleans is Mardi Gras, and there's a street festival. Street festivals happening all the time and huge brass bands playing all of this like incredible jazz music, and it's just really incredible, uplifting music, you know. And you think of New Orleans was the biggest slave port in all of North America, and it has this really incredible influence of the Haitian voodoo and the black culture and the African American culture, and this really incredibly oppressive thing and sad thing that happened in human history, which was the slave trade. And the fact that all of that black influence and Haitian influence in New Orleans actually created this incredibly uplifting music, I always find that just like super inspiring to me in my art practice and as a musician, that something that's so uplifting and fun like this swing and jazz music came out of like some of the most oppressed people of all time, and that they didn't lose their connection to music when they came over from Africa, and that was something that really kept people's spirits alive through something as horrible as slavery. So when I was in New Orleans, you get to see a lot of, you know, more fun Mardi Gras parades that are kind of more trashy and just like tourists. But then you also kind of, if you're hanging out in the city and kind of in the Ninth Ward or in the Bywater or where a lot of my friends hang out that are kind of the more like artistic scenes, and it's like kind of the underground culture and kind of more of like the punk culture and stuff. And you see a lot of the more locals doing parades that are like a little bit more offbeat. So one of my favorite ones is called the Borcunia Festival. And basically, it's like a Haitian ceremony that's been happening for over 100 years. And they do like a big brass band parade. And then they actually will do a feast, which is apparently a traditional New Orleans Haitian feast, which is to cook a roadkill swamp rat inside of a roadkill raccoon inside of a roadkill wild boar.
What?
And then they feed it to everyone and have a big parade, and it's called Boar Cunha.
Oh, my God.
So that was probably the craziest thing I ever ate in New Orleans, was I actually ate a plate of roadkill raccoon and swamp rat.
Holy sh- I, you know what? I asked for a crazy story, but I was not expecting you to say that.
Yeah, it was amazing. Oh, I loved it, you know, and then
was
everybody
was
playing. Yeah, it was delicious.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. I loved it. And, you know, everybody's playing jazz, and there's all these trumpet players everywhere, and saxophonists and trombones, and everybody's just eating this delicious feast. And then they play tag after. They kind of bring us all to this park after the parade and do
weird
little games and stuff. It's, yeah, it's an incredible little parade.
That's amazing. Well, there you go. Lucy Lambert, Swamp Rat Rebellion, right here on CITR. And we're listening to her album, Violet Drift. And I hope you guys enjoy. We're going to catch you in a little bit. But yeah, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR.
I've been singing the blues since my baby said goodbye. The meanest feeling I've had in a while. And every blue page moan. If I had what I deserve, I wouldn't be so alone. No, I wouldn't watch all night, just sit by the window in the candlelight, just singing the blues till my baby comes home. My baby said goodbye. The meanest feeling I had in a while. And every blue pain brings new pain right into my heart. I got this feeling, I'm gonna lay right down and cry. If I had what I deserve, I wouldn't be so alone. No, I wouldn't watch all night, just sit by the window in the candlelight, just singing the blues till my baby comes home.
Belleville by Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift on 101.9 FM CITR. This is Attic Jams, and joining me is Lucy Lambert. So welcome back again to the booth.
Thanks.
Yeah, so we've been listening to her album. We've been talking a little bit about her experiences and for things to come as well. I also wanted to ask you about your painting, because I know you're very talented. You're an oil painter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've looked at some of your art, and it's like really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you what kind of got you into painting, and like what are you kind of planning on doing with that?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I went to art school, so I'm an illustrator and a painter as well as a musician, and I studied at Concordia in Montreal, and that's where I got my BFA. But I felt like, you know, I was kind of educated by the city of Montreal as well as by being in art school, just because it kept bringing me back to Montreal year after year. And then I was, you know, really influenced by the music scene and the jazz scene in the city, yeah, as well as studying art. So I feel like I kind of got both those educations, even though I'm not formally educated in music. But I do really love painting, and I have a lot of painters in my family, like my auntie and my great grandmother and a lot of my great-grandfather, and I have a lot of pretty renowned painters on my matrilineal side, like in my German ancestry. So when I started doing oil painting, I had, yeah, a lot of different spiritual experiences that just kind of clicked into place around that is something that, you know, people in my family have been doing visual arts for a really long time. And so I really, yeah, oil painting will always be a pretty important passion of mine. I really like doing representational paintings, so I do a lot of like landscapes, a lot of figure paintings, a lot of portraiture, and classical art was something that I was really passionate about when I was in my kind of oil painting phase, so to speak, while I was in university. I'm still really passionate about that, but I think that, for me, art is a little bit less conceptual than they teach in the university school system, and it's a little bit more based on perception and observation of your surroundings. Like, I love to paint people, and I love to, like, even draw musicians. Like, I used to go to jams, and when I wasn't playing, I would be, like, sketching my friends all the time, and I love to be, like, inspired by, like, the sensory things going on. So, like, being, like, at a fun, like, jam or whatever where everybody's listening, I love to draw musicians because they're usually just in a few positions, too. Like, they'll to kind of hold their instruments but yeah, stay mostly still but move a little bit. So I did a lot of that kind of sketching and portraiture, and then I'm really excited about moving to LA is kind of my next thing, and then yeah, I'm excited that I could be doing like music industry stuff in the big city, but then also go out into the desert and do like landscape and stuff.
Sorry. I wasn't looking at, I was listening to you so deeply, I wasn't looking at the song was going to come on. But you're going to LA and you're excited to basically go out and like be able to paint in the desert as well as be in the city.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, I think jazz is a really urban thing. So you kind of need to be close to some kind of urban metropolis in order to be a jazz musician, because you need a culture of people that are doing it with you. Like jazz yeah, is a really collaborative thing, and it's really not that easy to do it alone, because it's very different than being a music producer or a songwriter. You know, it's like jazz is really about interaction between different musicians, and I think that's something that I felt really proud of that we kind of captured on my last album and on my next album, that, you know, we record everyone in one room at the same time, so, you know, you get more of an interaction and an energy between the players. So you kind of need to be in a place where people are into doing that, so it's hard to do it in a rural location, whereas painting's a little bit of the opposite, where yeah, it's really nice to be out in a beautiful location and be doing some oil painting or something like that, you know, be inspired by beautiful things. So I think LA might be a really cool kind of mix of the two, because I know that the desert landscapes are like phenomenally beautiful, and it's something I've always actually dreamed of doing. And I just got my driver's license, so I'm really excited to kind of drive out into the desert, make some paintings, come back into LA, and be able to be a little bit more part of the jazz culture and the music culture.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun. I'm yeah, really excited for you. Are you going to take the 101, do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like you just can't not do that.
Thanks.
Oh, well, I'm really happy that you decided to join me today. And yeah, you're listening to Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift on 101.9 FM CITR. We have Swing 39 coming on next. And yeah, we might say a little goodbye after and chat a little bit more. But I hope you guys are enjoying the show, and we'll be back in a bit. Thank you. This is Attic Jams. You're tuned in to CITR 101.9. Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Because that's just the headphones. It's not the actual mic. Okay. It's okay. We had our feet kicking around down on the bottom of the booth, and we unplugged something. But you know what? I think we can hear you. Why don't you just say hello?
Hello.
Hi, Lucy's here.
Hi.
She's joining me on my show, Attic Jams, and we've been playing her album, Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift, a very beautiful rendition of like many songs that are like very New Orleans vibe, and it's absolutely incredible. She also has been working on an album that she's like pretty much all summer, and you said that it's going to be released pretty soon, eh?
Yeah, so we're just kind of in the mixing and mastering and phase on our next album, which I'm really excited to release, and it'll be coming out. We're going to start releasing singles this fall and then through the winter and spring, and then do probably a big album release show sometime in the spring, which is really exciting. And yeah, I mean, everyone on my last album was completely incredible musician that I was honestly just honored to get to work with. I think my favorite part of being a jazz musician is that you get to collaborate with so many incredible musicians, and you get to kind of be inspired by other artists while you're doing your own art, which is this kind of gift of that genre of music. And everyone, yeah, I loved everybody that was on my last album. And, you know, I decided to move across the country because I'm a pretty transient person. But then I was lucky that there was a lot of really incredible musicians in Vancouver that were excited to do another album. So if you like what you're hearing, there will be another jazz album of my band coming out, or my project coming out, throughout the fall and winter of 2023 and 2024.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lucy, for joining me. We have Jay Chillin coming on next, so stay tuned. But first, I'm going to play some ads. And again, you were listening to Attic Jams, and thank you so much, Lucy, for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam,
Nisiyaya, Anthasyakuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustail. You want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Frock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots.